terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least. Armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
To be able to do the offering, they needed to be at that side of the river at the time where the grain is there to do the offering, to be the type and the symbol of Christ who was lifted up, who was our wave offering. Anybody know what that's called? First fruits. I want you to get it again. Hey, we got across the river. We're over, and now we got grain.
Excuse me, Aaron, or whoever it is, whoever the priest is. Aaron's dead now. Excuse me, before you take a bite, God gets his first. Wait a minute. I've been eating manna goulash, manna pancakes. I've been eating manna, and I got grain in my hand, and I got to do this first. Again, wait, God, I don't understand. Why do you feed us manna for 40 years, get us over there with food, and then tell us to wait? You read it. And now they do have grain. The first thing they do get to eat is unleavened bread. How many of you ever ate unleavened bread? Oh, communion crackers. They taste great, don't they? Okay. But unleavened bread, they got to sacrifice a lamb. They got to go through all this ritual before they get to just eat regular. I wanted you to put it in context. You haven't eaten anything but manna, some quail in there once, for 38 years. Let me put it in another perspective. You've been out of work for a year. How many of you know once you get behind, it takes twice as long to catch up? You've been out of work 3 months. It takes you six to make up for that, right? But so you're in that boat, you get your first paycheck. And I do it like this because you might like different food than I do, and I use a food illustration, and you can care less about Brussels sprouts. But we all care about our check. God, that's why God uses money so much. Or in the Old Testament times, that would have been food. Okay. But you get your first check, right? And you get out the budget now that you can actually have one again. And at the top of the list is tithe. Or giving, whatever you label, okay? Yeah, but we're 6 months behind. That's going to take us a year to catch up. I mean, after all, God won't miss it, right? That we think that. And I'm not condemning that. I'm just saying it's a natural thing. So here you are. You've grown up eating nothing but manna. All the other people died. That's all you've known growing up, except for the one day you had some quail. That's what you've known. God gives you real food. You cannot tell me there ain't one of them people went, this is ridiculous. You got to be kidding me. Those religious people, those priests, after all this, and they expect us. Because remember, that's how the priest ate. And then therefore the priest got to eat the grain first. Yeah, you know, preachers, you know, you're so greedy. You're all in it for yourselves.
Come on, don't tell me that you didn't think like this. That's what we do. Don't make them float on clouds and all holy. They were just normal people. I'm sure somewhere in there, somebody stuck their hand in some grain and just put some in their mouth. If they were normal people. And then the miracle of manna did not continue when it ceased to be necessary. The miracle did not continue when it ceased to be necessary. And I'm not putting down a particular group, and I don't mean to do that, but I hear it a lot on Christian television. You want your miracle. You're praying for a miracle, and I've said this before. If you want a miracle, it means you have to be in need of one. And I'm going to be straight. Most of the stuff we think we need in America, we don't need.
God, I need a miracle. I need a car.
Well, don't you all have one? Yeah, but that's the wife's car. Oh, well, 1950, y'all shared one. Only today do we think we all and everybody has to have a phone, and everybody has to have a, you know what I'm saying? It's different. But you got really, really need. But as soon as a natural provision was there, God didn't zap grain out of heaven. Pagans, ungodly idol worshipers, planted it, grew it, and harvested. It was a natural thing. Now, it might have been supernatural that they were scared and run and hide, but we know this from history. That was typical when war broke out anyway, is the people went into cities to barricade themselves, all right? And often cities had grain stores and wells and all that to last a siege. But we tend to miss the whole point. Man, I have financial need, Roma. We just need a little, I need a miracle. The next day it snows. Snowstorm comes in. And then I hear you for, I need a miracle. And I'm asking, did you go door to door asking if you could shovel somebody snow? I hate shoveling snow, and I think most people do. Teenagers tend to get this. They'll go door to door and ask for a few bucks to. But you, as an adult, you're asking for a financial miracle, and God brings a snowstorm. Or an opportunity for a second temporary job during the holidays. Yeah, but the holidays are so busy, and I really don't want to have to work on Thanksgiving, you know, and I sure don't want to work on Christmas Eve, so God, just give me a financial miracle. You see what I'm saying? We do tend to think that way. We want it to drop out of the sky like manna when God might have provided a very natural way to do it. One commentator put it this way. We are fond of short, easy methods where the natural method would be long and laborious. Let me put it another way. We want the easy way. That's human nature. Or and I have a group of friends that along a particular religious bent, healing. God, I need healing. But then some friend, and you just think that your friend doesn't have faith, you know, because you ask them to pray for your healing. They says, you know, I know this really great doctor that specializes in. Andrew, do you want to get some paper towels out of there? That's my fault. Okay? But wait a minute. Can't God provide a natural doctor just as easily as he can a miracle in that other sense? And I have friends along a particular group that would tell me as soon as I recommended a doctor to you, I lack faith. But wait a minute. They came into the promised land and the grain didn't fall out of the sky. It wasn't provided by a Christian group through little boxes that you send out at Christmas. It was pagans. It was provided through that process. The manna was a mark of the wilderness state, not the promised state. Condition, in that sense, the word I'm using, state. Okay? And I'll give you an example. Most of us have been there. You've been on one side or the other. Especially, let's say you're young, you're married, you're starting out life, and there's those people you go to for some wisdom. Mentorish stuff. You may not call them that, whether it's your mom and dad, whether it's a friend, whatever. You're young, married, and you're going to help get advice, this kind of thing. Eventually, you're expected to gain wisdom and do it without them. This is sort of a natural example. Sometimes, though, we just want to stay in the state of the miracle and never learn from the process, so we don't need it. Again, a commentator put it this way in this kind of idea. A habit of learning or leaning on others keeps us children. But grappling with the difficulties as we find them and trying to make our way through them and over them promotes, the word here is manliness, it's an old commentary, okay, creates grown-ups. Paul writes of this and says, you ought to be teachers by now, but I got to give you milk. Okay, you got to at some point move past manna. The promise doesn't come that way. Okay, and I know, I'm not trying to lessen the miracle of God, but you get in a situation. Let's get real. Most of our situations we got ourselves in. That financial need is usually sitting out front, has four wheels and a V8, or a big flat screen, or often, okay, and you know, you left one job and you got a severance package, and the severance package showed up in your living room. It was a big flat screen. But now you haven't had a job for 4 months and you're praying for a miracle. Yeah, that whatever, $1,000, whatever they cost now, sure would have come in handy now. You see what I'm saying? And so here we are looking. But God, well, he'll meet your need. He'll bring the manna. But he also expects you to learn wisdom along the way. Marriage number two. Oh, God, make this stay. Oh, God, let this one be real. Oh, yeah, but the question is, when he brought you through the other one, did you learn anything? God doesn't have an obligation to bail us out of our own messes. He does out of his loving grace and kindness. But are you learning anything through the process? Look what he does. He says, I want you to remember when I did. The other people went through the same thing. They didn't learn anything. They saw Red Sea part. You saw Jordan part. They see, you see. Are you going to get it? Because I know we tend to think now that they've crossed the Jordan, everybody's brave and courageous now, and they're ready to take on the land. Oh, Ai comes after Jericho. So no, not everybody was in the ready place to be obedient. In this context, okay, of what you've known now for 30 years, how many of you love change? Change, especially the older you get, the less you like it. And so again, all you've known is wilderness wandering, sleeping in your tent, eating manna. I would imagine this also happened. Grain? Come on, Ma. I don't want to try anything new. Because your kids, they immediately try new things, right? But what if I don't like it? I know that sounds strange to us, but barley and grains and so on, I would imagine after there's also those who are going, wait. As much as those other people looked at Egypt and said, man, why can't we just died there? Why can't we get back to Egypt? Imagine when they cross the Jordan and they see the big city over here at Jericho and they get a little around the corner there where they can't be seen and they're all thinking, this don't look like our promised land. It didn't look like it belongs to them. Okay, change. If they're human people, there were people in the crowd going, I don't like change. What happened to the manna? In modern context, what happened to the government check? Don't make me work.
That'll meddle, okay?
Then we get to this part about Joshua, okay? Now, it came about when Joshua was by Jericho. What does that tell you? He's not sitting over at Gilgal. He's getting close enough to Jericho where he's sort of analyzing the situation. Now, most commentators say this, that when he had looked up and saw, most of them believe the language is he was literally with his head down in contemplation based upon the language. I'm not going into that. He was thinking, considering as he's looking at Jericho, I don't know how this is happening. So here he's gone and he looks up and what does he see? He sees a guy with his weapon drawn. Not a farmer. And he recognizes, he ain't one of my guys. So he asked the obvious question, my side or their side? So again, because he has a weapon drawn, I would tend to think of him as a warrior too, wouldn't you? So he lifted his eyes, look, and behold, there was one standing opposite, his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for your adversaries? What's the response? You don't get it. That's my paraphrase. You're missing it here, buddy. Neither. For I am the captain of the host of the Lord. Again, because of Joshua bows, okay, in the King James, it uses the word worship because to bow down is translated to worship. So in a modern version, it'll say bow down. Bow down. And not like other times when there was angels, says, get up. I'm a servant just like you. No. He allows that bowing to take place and uses the same language that God did at the burning bush. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. So this sounds familiar to Joshua too. All right. So most people believe this is a Christophany, and we talked about those compared to a theophany, as we talked about those on Wednesday nights. Look at his response. Now imagine you're praying and say, God, could you help me with? Can you help me out with? And God says, no. I'm not on your side in this thing, and I'm not on their side of the thing. I would be going, oh, please, God, be on my side. I can't do this. Look at Joshua's response. What do you have to say? He doesn't try to convince God. to come on his side. He says, what do you have to say? I would suggest to you, often when you're facing an enemy, that's probably a good question to ask God. What we usually do is go, well, why? I don't understand why I'm going through this, Pastor. I don't understand. Joshua doesn't go, well, why aren't you on my side? I don't get it. No. Just this, God, what do you want? That's Joshua's response. God, what do you want? But worship's involved too. I ain't got time to take that apart. Then he says, remove your sandals because you're on holy ground. That's language familiar. But I also want you to notice how the Lord appears to Joshua. Joshua is a what? Tell me what he is. He's a leader, but he is a soldier. How does this Christophany appear? Just what he needs, the way he is. Abraham is sojourning. He's a traveler. He doesn't know place. He's living in a tent. When the three fellows showing up, and we believe that was a Christophany too, how do they show up as? Travelers. Jacob, the schemer, always working things. God shows up and wrestles. If you're the three Hebrew children, you don't need Jesus to show up walking on water. You need somebody in the fire with you. Moses has lost his purpose. He was one of the, now he's just a shepherd. How does God say him? I got a job for you. I want you to go do this. I want you to understand this, that God will show up for you the way you need him. Our problem is I often compare to how he showed up for someone else. So how he met my financial need, don't expect it necessarily to come that way to you. Mine might have been a check in the mail, manna from heaven. Yours might be shoveling snow. The thing is, he shows up in that manner that he can relate to. Well, I'm going to jump ahead. We'll keep going. I don't want to jump ahead. Okay? We know the whole taking off the shoe thing. That's a sign of submission, of honor. Okay? It's also a sign of taking a bride. Read the story of Ruth. But let me put it in a New Testament terms. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the proper time. Read Philippians chapter 2. Casting all your anxieties about Jericho on him. I added the Jericho part. Because he cares for you. Humble yourself, turn it over to God, and let him take care of it. At this point, this is what Joshua does. He's not there to understand why. He's not there to beseech God to do it his way, to do it the way he wants. What do you want? And I love this. Take off your shoes. And here is a simple statement. I think the most profound statement of the chapter. And Joshua did so. He's reading out of the book from the war room. And the illustrations in there about it put this way, and I'm sorry if I butcher it. I mean, if I had the book, I'd read it here for you. But could you imagine you tell your kids to go clean, let's say, the family room where the kids are playing and all the toys are out and you've been stepping on Legos. That hurts, by the way. Okay? This way. And you tell the kids, go clean your room. You walk away, you start doing your stuff, you come back 15 minutes later, and there they are sitting in the middle of the room with their Bible open, having a study, wondering what they should do for God. You sort of blow by that because that sounds really religious and good. And you come back 15 minutes now, they're holding hands and having a prayer circle, praying about God, what the next step should be. I think that's us sometimes. I like Joshua just said, and he did it. I didn't need to pray about it. I didn't need to. God said it. I did it. Now, I'm going to be honest. This speaks to me like you don't believe. Because of my conservativeness, when he says step into the Jordan, I want to go, are you sure? Let's have a prayer meeting. Let's have the elders pray about it for 3 weeks. Give me a written word. Give me another word of confirmation. Let's throw down a fleece outside and see if the moisture falls. I get this all the time when people come to me and I just go know what God wants. Well, what'd he tell you? Then do that. And what do I hear? Elmer Fudd. Well, yeah, but I deal with the same thing. My prayer for me and for you today is we would do this. And he did so. We wait for some kind of grand spiritual EBGB bolt of lightning handwriting on the wall before we want to move. Why do we do that? I want to be here. What was his rule to Joshua? Be strong and courageous. So I'll just do. Oh, God, that I would be that. I don't know how many times I've heard favorite verses of Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Yeah, but are you ready to just do it? When he says it, you do it. There's no debate. Remember Moses, though? Moses has a debate with God. Remember? I'm sorry. You got the right guy? I mean, I don't speak well. I mean, what if I go there and they don't listen to the whole conversation? There's a big difference between Moses and Joshua. Moses didn't enter the promised land, people. Joshua did. Maybe, just maybe, he learned something from watching his mentor. He learned what not to do, not just what to do. When God speaks, do you have that kind of response? Just do? Oh, I know you think you do. I know you think you do. All right, until pastor points out the thing in Scripture you don't like. It's in Scripture. That means the same guy that spoke to Joshua is the same one saying it. Is that you go, okay, God, I'll do. No, okay. The Bible tells us that pure and undefiled religion in the New Testament is helping the orphan and the widow. Do you have to pray about doing one of those boxes? I'm just getting practical now. I mean, I didn't plan it this way. But again, I don't have to pray about doing one of them boxes. They go to all kinds of orphans. In case you don't, there's a lot more orphans around the world in these places than in the United States. I don't have to pray about when Kay's lawn needs to be mowed, should I go help a widow? I don't need a word from God. I don't need to ask permission from somebody. Just do. It's in the Word of God. Children, listen to me. Children, obey your parents. You ready, children? Here's your hand. Just do it. You want to be like Joshua? You want to be strong and courageous? When Dad says, mow the lawn, you just do it. Yeah, but Dad, I'm sorry for meddling, but I got to take this into a practical realm. We put it all out here in the spiritual stuff. But it isn't that hard. Take care. When your brother's in need, you have two coats. You give him one. Yeah, but I use that third vehicle, that pickup, once a year when I go to the dump. Oh, we do it. You do it. I justify it myself. Okay? The Bible says we're supposed to show hospitality. And they went house to house, breaking the bread, part of the New Testament church. Well, but I get home from work and I'm tired, Glenn. And, you know, maybe I'll take him out to dinner sometime. Hospitality is supposed to be a mark of the church. Do I need to pray about that? Whether I should have you over? Whether I should fellowship? Do I have to pray about that? No. Just do it. That's Joshua. How does Joshua get accomplished what God called him to do? Because God says, do it. And he goes, yes, sir. What a concept. What a concept that you just simply open this up. It says it right there. Okay, I can do that. Fathers, train and instruct your children. Do you do that? Well, yeah, but see, but that's your job. Do you have to pray about it? I don't think you do. Just as much as those. I imagine God going there. He said, do this. And he looks down and there's the kids in the family room a mess holding hands wanting to pray about it. Because if two or three are gathered together, you know. Of course, that's out of context. Well, one could put 1,000 to flight. Two could put 10. So let's all get together and talk about it. Nothing gets done in committee, by the way. All right? Just do what God calls. Now, to you, there might be something personal. And God's speaking about us something personally that we need to do. I'm being straight with you. I'm going, uh-uh. Not literally in rebellion. Uh-uh is, ooh, that's spooky. ooh, spooky, I mean scary. Okay, it's scary. I don't know if I, how, I don't understand. I can't figure out why I would cross the Jordan right now. It's flood stage, God. I don't know there's grain on the other side. It's hard for me, even when he says, I'll take care of you, I'll have you on the other side. It's hard for me to go, jump. So I'm not preaching this at you in some condemning way. I'm preaching it at you, say, ouch. Ouch. What has God said to do to you, whether it's directly in his word or something personally in your life? Boy, I want to be like Josh. I just want to be strong and courageous. So I'll act. Let's stand. Now, I want you to understand the context here. Right away, Joshua says, just does. Do anybody know what's the next thing God tells Joshua to do? March around that big city. And he does. It isn't just about shoes. Father, we thank you again for your word that speaks so much to us. Father, I pray that you help us to recognize that when you do lift the manna, it's because you got something else. Father, help us to understand that when we're looking across the river and we don't get it, on the other side, you've got it handled. God, help us to just simply be obedience, because you desire obedience over sacrifice, over stuff. Just obey. God, help me. Help me just obey. God, when we do, we get to see your mighty hand as we humble ourselves in submission and do. We get to see your great works, and you get glorified because you're on your own side. It's all about your glory, God, not our comfort. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.